So, I mean, doing autographs, doing the whole thing, there's got to be one or multiple moments that stand out that's like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. There's got to be, because we all know this is a big world out there. It's a big car enthusiast world. And we are happy to be in this business. However, there is some there is some unique individuals.
Are you getting that, like you're saying something that's like just a really cool experience? Like he's excited?
No, I don't really care about the cool experience.
Or more like look at this. This is my Chris Jacobs mural tattoo.
I'm looking for more of
like
that.
That's where you're headed with it?
At Rod Run, Pigeon Forge Rod Run last year, I signed a guy's head. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
The thing that really kind of is, I don't know, gross or whatever. It's like, you know, if you've got sweaty palms, you know you got sweaty palms, right? Just give me the knuckles. Just give me the knuckles.
Yeah. Post-COVID, you can get away with the knuckles. So.
Yeah. Don't reach out and give me the full sponge handshake, you know? I mean, I'm good knuckling it, you know, just as meaningful.
I'm just looking.
Nothing worse than a clammy dead
fish. Purell is my friend at these appearances.
Welcome to Oil and Whiskey, an Ironclad original. I am Josh Henning.
I'm Phil Gerber.
I'm Jeremy Gerber.
Welcome to Oil and Whiskey, an Ironclad original. Today's guest, none other than Chris Jacobs. Back again, man. Chris Jacobs returns.
Yeah. Happily. Part due.
Part due. So what's been going on? Yeah, you mentioned being out there at Car Week. We've been following the social media. Just about everybody has been out there. It's pretty cool shit, for sure.
It just gets better every year. I mean, it really is the Super Bowl and New Year's Eve all rolled into one if you're a car person. And, you know, I mean, it's like a family reunion. You know, I see people that I only see at Car Week, and it's just like picking up right where we left off. So really, really cool. I was on there on behalf of Hagerty. You know, I'm a brand ambassador for them. And then also I did Meekum on Friday, Saturday. And of the 10 Meekums a year that we do, this one's a little different because it does kind of fall in line with Monterey. You get a lot more Ferraris and Porsches than Camaros and Mustangs. So interesting to see that kind of shift in the normal Meekum culture. So I'm exhausted, but happily exhausted. It's just go, go, go. And I'll tell you what, we made the smartest move this year, because the one drawback of Car Week on the Monterey Peninsula is the traffic. Because there's really, you know, there's two lane roads everywhere, meaning, you know, one way each way. And so I contacted this company called Vintage Electric Bikes, and they hooked us up with a couple electric bikes for the week. And my buddy and manager Reed and I were blitzing them around the peninsula. We ended up riding them for 104 miles during the week. So yeah, it was great. Yeah. Tons of fun. So just a little plug for them, Vintage Electric Bikes. They're awesome looking and awesome performing. And they've been in business for about 10 years and they're kicking ass.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a great means of transportation. I was just out at the Air and Water Show in Chicago and trying to like grab an Uber. Next to impossible when you're leaving. Hop on a little Divvy electric scooter, man.
Yeah.
3 miles into the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Piece of cake. Yeah, the Vintage are a little cooler than the Divvy bikes. I like the Divvy bikes for convenience, but the Vintage bikes are like, you know, super cool four-man function.
What's Chris Jacobs' apparel for Monterey Car Week? Is that loafers, no socks? Is that
ankles showing?
Athletic cut, like sports coat?
Seersucker.
I want to know.
Ascot and ankles.
Yeah.
You know, I did that 2 years ago. A lot of people like to dress up like of the period.
Yeah.
You know, pre-war. So Vanessa was up there with me a couple of years ago, and we actually dressed period correct. And that was a lot of fun, but it's also a little high maintenance, you know, because you got to bring a bunch of stuff up to the peninsula, you know, in order to have the proper wardrobe for all the events you go to. So most of the time it's t-shirt and jeans and a hat. Certainly for Meekum it is, but you got to bring a couple sports coats with you for the, you know, Hagerty house events. And I went to a Bentley event. And so those are a little bit more upper crusty. So you got to have the suit coat. But I got this really dope Robert Graham jacket with these like moray skulls on it, and always gets a lot of attention. So it's kind of still a little bit rock and roll, but appropriate for Monterey Car Week.
Styling.
So what are you out there doing for Haggerty in particular?
Yeah, you know, mainly it's just kind of promoting the brand, just being there at the various events. They have a lot of their big customers who come to these events. They rent a house in the Monterey Peninsula, the Del Monte Forest, and then they put on these events every night. And they have guest speakers, like, for instance, this year, McLaren sponsored a night, and they had Bruce McLaren's daughter and also one of the executives from McLaren there. And that was really cool to hear her take on everything. She actually is an ambassador for McLaren now. And they're just talking about their new sports cars and their history in F1 and the Can-Am series and Le Mans. So, you know, it's things like that. And so I'm just there kind of to be there, I guess, you know. And obviously a lot of people recognize me from overhauling, and we get to talk about that. And Motor Lux, which happens on Wednesday night, it's kind of a kickoff event of Car Week. Even though Car Week starts on Monday, it really doesn't get rolling until the Motor Lux event. Haggerty puts that on, so I'm there doing the same thing, just, you know, walking around, kind of talking to people and stuff. And then it culminates on Sunday morning with an event that Haggerty puts on. I think this is the 13th year. It's called Dawn Patrol, and Haggerty provides coffee and donuts for all the people who are sick enough or dumb enough to show up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch the first cars roll out onto Pebble Beach's 18th fairway. And it calls Dawn Patrol, and they make hats for it. Like, apparently these hats are super coveted now. And for about the 1500 people that show up for Dawn Patrol, I think they only make up about 400 to 500 hats. So everyone's like scrambling to get one. And I'm one of the people that passes them out. And so I'm like getting violated and clutched and grabbed, and everyone's trying to get these hats, you know. So people, and you hear all the sob stories, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, my grandmother's in the hospital and she really wants a Dawn Patrol hat.
Can I get three of them?
So
yeah, right, got an uncle, exactly. A cousin.
I also have, can you sign one of my nephew, yeah. Bob? So that's pretty cool too. And then obviously, you know, Sunday all day is the Concours itself, and it's just like, I mean, it's sensory overload to the max. I did an Instagram live where I walked just through the race car section, the Ferrari section, the race car section, and the Porsche section. And that was just a very small kind of section of the cars overall. And that was just exhausting to do, just, you know, from an intake standpoint. It's a long week, but it's, again, it's the best week of the year. You know, that and SEMA are probably the two big, big events for the year.
Is that where Andy was from Cal Auto out there debuting that Corvette?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out there for that. What was the one that grabbed you? What was the car that you're still thinking about?
Without a doubt, the new Singer 935.
The DLST study, or whatever?
The DLST. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I had, you know, obviously done a lot of research about it because I love Singer. I'm a total Porsche guy, and Singer is, you know, at the top of the game, in my opinion. And so when that car first came out, I saw the pictures and read the articles, but then to see it in person is just next level. And I'm buddies with a guy named Seamus who kind of handles all their cars, and he invited us over to Singer House to have kind of a private look at it so we could really, like, you know, inspect it up close and get in and out of it. And it's off the charts, man. It's really cool.
Yeah, they do an unbelievable job. Love to see that car in person.
The finishes are just... Yeah. Like the way they did the black trim on that one in particular, it's just.
What was the Singer that we saw at Lake Forest Sports Car?
It was not a DLS. It was.
It was probably the Turbo Study. Was it the 930?
It was the green with like the nickel trim, right?
I think that's the 930. Did it have the wide hips and the tail?
I thought it was the one with that Ripper motor in it.
Yeah, well, they did. They upgraded the motor too. I mean, that's the thing about Singer. It's like, it, if you stand back like 50 feet, it looks like it could be a stock Porsche. But then when you get up close to it, they have touched everything. And it's kind of like with the flavor of the original Porsche, but they have made it theirs and unique. And just the craftsmanship is off the charts.
That was the first one we'd ever seen in person. And you're 100% right. You could look at pictures all day long. You could be on social media. But there's just something about that car in person. Like, again, the finishes, the fit, it's just something.
The details are all there. You can say it's not like a resto mod. Car. Yeah, it's
Right. You can't even, you really can't even call it a rest of mind. What's incredible too is, you know, they're known for their 911s, which are based on the 964 version of the 911, and so is the 935 and the 930. They both, the beginnings are 964. So that kind of gives you the idea of what they do to the car. And the first time I ever visited the original Singer facility here in SoCal in Sun Valley, outside the shop, completely surrounding the shop, were 964 skeletons that had chalk numbers on them. And those were the numbers of production that they were going to do. They've since moved into this very modern, very big facility down in El Segundo. But if you saw this, I think it was like a converted like metal shop or something. I mean, something is very, you know, dark and dingy and gross from the outside. And then what they're putting out from inside this building was just mind blowing. But their new facility in El Segundo is much more appropriate for the cars that they're putting out.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few pictures of it, just loaded with lifts. Absolute beautiful architecture inside the building. You get an idea. What's the rough number of, what kind of volume do those guys do? What are they putting out annually?
You know, it's not a lot. I want to say they're, and don't quote me because I'm not for sure, but I think it's around 300 of the original Singers that they're putting out. And I know that the 930, the turbo study, and certainly the 935, the DLTS are very low production numbers, maybe even built to order.
Just saw this weekend, two of them went sold at auction for like 1.5, 1.6.
The 911 versions?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reimagined. Yeah, I mean, their value is just incredible. And, you know, obviously the aftermarket for them is very strong. I don't know if they loosened up the rules on the aftermarket sales, but I know that originally they had a built-in right of first refusal. If the original owner wanted to sell, they had the opportunity to buy it back first.
Well, you've been quite busy since your last time on here. So tell us a little bit about the new venture, man. You didn't even hint about that going on.
Yeah, we were in the dark.
Yeah,
that was actually, I think the last time I was on the show was right before I got in business with, I think you're talking about Finale Speed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and, you know, very, very happy that we are now in an exclusive partnership with Roadster Shop.
We're breaking news right here on the podcast.
Yes. In fact, I just found out about it today. I'm just stoked because, you know, obviously you say Roadster Shop and anybody who is worth their salt in the car industry knows exactly who you guys are and what you guys do. And, you know, it's the combination of the technology, the reliability, and the name recognition. You know, that's just a trifecta of love. We're very stoked. In fact, I think our first couple of chassis that we're going to be putting on here, some chargers that we're building, are going to be shipped out to us very, very soon. And then with regularity after that. So yeah, Finale Speed, we manufacture both 70 chargers and 1969 Camaros, completely carbon fiber. And we debuted at Barrett Jackson in Scottsdale last year with the Camaro. We most recently had the 70 Charger at the Dodge booth at Roadkill Nights just a couple weeks ago. And then we're very happy to announce that we're going to be producing a 69 Camaro convertible, a roller version of which will be in the Dynamat booth at SEMA this year. And we're super stoked about that one, too.
Well, that's awesome, man. And likewise to you about recognizing quality. We saw that first car out there at Barrett Jackson Scottsdale, and immediately we're taken back. It was like, man, that's like quality is really there. So could not be more happy to enter into an exclusive agreement.
Absolutely, man.
Every Finale Speed Camaro and Charger being built from here on out.
Yeah, we are absolutely stoked to align with you guys. It's some high quality stuff, killer styling. Love what you guys are doing. So pleasure to be a part.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's going to be a great partnership going forward for many, many years. And I'm really looking forward to SEMA because that actually will be the 1 year anniversary that I connected with Finale Speed and got into business with them. And, they kind of rely on me to use my experience in the industry and my connections to make these cars as good as they can be. And certainly, you know, the stuff that you can't see underneath everything, which is Dynamat, you know, I consider them to be the best sound deadening material in the business. So not only to be in business with them and also being displayed in their booth is quite an honor for us. And we hope to get a lot of exposure and recognition this year at SEMA from them.
Well, how did that partnership all come about with you and Finale?
You know, it's really just between myself and Finale.
Right.
It was literally, I walked up to the car in the Dodge booth. It was a roller. It was the 70 Charger, which is now a complete car that was just displayed at Roadkill Nights. But it was a roller, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, this is unbelievable. You know, is this a wrap? These weaves are perfectly lined up. This is an incredible aesthetic experience, as well as a functional experience. You know, on the Camaro, we shave about 1,000 pounds off the stock weight of the car by using these carbon fiber panels. So obviously, you know, there's a reason for using it, besides it just being absolutely beautiful to look at, the exposed carbon. So I got to talking to a couple of the representatives that were there, and we exchanged information. And we kept in touch after SEMA and decided that, hey, you know, I think I've got something to offer you guys, and let's make this work. And we just kind of, it just grew organically, that relationship. And, you know, I think that over the years of being in the industry, like you guys, I recognize quality companies that are putting out a good product. And so I aligned myself with them, and it's been a great experience so far.
That's awesome.
Awesome, man. Well, tell us a little bit about the cars. What's the power plant, transmission? What's the kind of general performance?
So the Camaro's got the LT4 with the Tremec 6-speed, the T56 backing it up. And we got Wilwood brakes all the way around. Exhaust. I just heard impact. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, that one went down the wrong tube. A little spicy.
Spit take. so that's it for the Camaro, and then we're throwing Hellcat motors into the Chargers. And you know, what's great about what we do also is we will build the car to whatever level of completion that you want. If you want it just, you know, a pure roller, we'll give you that. If you want you know, the brake lines installed and the brakes and the exhaust and the suspension and all that stuff, we'll do that. If you wanted just everything except interior, we'll do that, or we'll give you an absolutely complete car too. And we have options as to what we offer as far as power plants go, as far as interiors go, as far as wheels and tire package go, brakes. So, you know, we're kind of, we're throwing it back to bespoke almost. You know, the customer meets with us, they tell us what they're looking for. We can paint the car any color that they want. In fact, the 69 convertible that's going to be in the Dynamat booth at SEMA is going to be a candy apple orange, which is such a cool look. And you know, the fiber just shines right through that. We let the customer dictate what they want, and then we deliver that to them.
What's the lead time?
They all will have Roadster Shop chassis. That's the only non-negotiable.
Right. Oh, no, right.
That's what I like to hear. What's the lead times on a full tilt? They want it, you know, they're going to pick it up and turn the key and drive it home.
Well, you know, I'd like to say as soon as possible, but that depends a lot on you guys as well, you know? How soon can you get us a chassis?
I think we've worked that out today. There was a lot of negotiation back and forth, but I think we've came to a mutually beneficial agreement.
Good deal. So with that being said, I think a complete car, we can probably get to someone between, you know, 7 and 9 months. You know, obviously, if they want a little bit less done to it, we can get a little bit more quickly. But we have a great relationship with our carbon guys, Brothers Carbon. And those are the guys who, you know, just are experts and artists in making those panels line up and fit perfectly. So, you know, we're very confident in the partners that we work with and getting these cars put together and getting to the customer in a reasonable time. Because, you know, we all know those stories of ordering a custom car and then it's like 2 years go by and you still don't have it, you know. So we know that you want this car as soon as possible, and that's what we're striving to get it to you.
Yeah, the fit of that carbon package probably helps streamline that quite a bit, because a big hang up in building a custom car is fitting the sheet metal, rust repair, trying to bring that car like just back to a workable state. So I'd assume that all that, I mean, the design work on the carbon, the molds, the stuff must just be so spot on that, and it has to be, because when you're hanging a fender, you certainly can't manipulate that carbon fiber fender. So it needs to be pretty well designed to land right in place, which must kind of expedite the process, I'd imagine.
You know, that's a great point. And I kind of got bamboozled early in my career because, you know, on overhauling, obviously we were taking absolute train wreck cars and turning them around in a week. And so I didn't quite realize until later that, yeah, exactly. Sorry about that, guys. I didn't realize till later that, you know, it takes a lot longer than we made it look. And having the carbon fiber panels ready to go, eliminating all of that fitment and, you know, cutting out the cancer, things like that, really saves a lot of time, obviously. We also do steel cars. You know, we put out a couple steel cars, but of course our focus and moving forward, we're going to concentrate on the carbon fiber cars.
Where are all these built at?
They're built in a little city outside of Oklahoma City called Yukon, Oklahoma. And it's a great team. Got a lot of space out there, and so, you know, all the stations have their own focus. But a lot of great guys are working for Finale Speed out there, and I'm just so proud of the guys and the perseverance and the stick-to-itiveness of this past year. You know, we're a young company. We're only about a year and a half old, so we're really just starting to get our foothold in the industry right now, and obviously a lot of legitimacy based on relationships like the one with you guys. We're hoping that SEMA is kind of our anniversary, because that was kind of our coming out party last year. So I'm hoping that this SEMA, we're going to make just even more strides. We're going to have the Charger, the 70 Charger, that's a complete car now, in the Wheel Pros booth. And they will be debuting a new wheel on the Charger. So that's a little bit of breaking news, too. That's going to be really cool to see the debut of that dope new wheel. I've seen renderings of it, and it's really badass.
Nice. Is that working on the American Racing brand side?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have enough information to know which brand it's going to be. I believe that Wheel Pros has their own brand within the overall company. Gotcha. So it may be on that, but that's something that's remains to be seen until the debut at SEMA.
Nice.
TBD.
Are you guys
TBD?
Are you selling all the individual carbon fiber panels, fenders, hoods, or are they just reserving them for your full builds?
Yeah, no, you know, we've gotten a lot of questions about that, actually. But no, we when you buy from us, you're getting, you know, a car, whether it be a roller or a complete car, you're getting a car. We're not selling our individual components. We may in the future, but you know, we don't want to get into that kind of secondary market business of just selling parts. We want to sell cars. And so that's what we're doing.
In the design on all these, are they very true to original, or are you modifying, enhancing, modernizing anything on them?
No, they are absolutely true to the original. What we do is we either one of two ways. We either scan the body or just pull molds directly off of the body. That's what we did for the Camaro. So it is to the millimeter, an exact 69 Camaro.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, well, moving on a little bit. I know you just got back from Fuller's big shindig down there in Atlanta.
Yeah. Brian Fuller is, I'm so proud of that guy. You know, he's such a great guy and so well-deserved. He's got this beautiful display now at the Savoy Museum in Georgia. And you really can't appreciate a craftsman and they're at the level of what they're doing until you see like a body of work together.
Sure.
And so to see all these creations side by side, and they're all coming out of his shop and it was really amazing. And he's so humble and so talented. And it was just so great to see him honored in this way. And I was honored to be there and speak on his behalf at the reception. And then to go to his shop, I had never been to his shop before. So we had a little mixer party at his shop the night before. And that was really fun too, to see where these cars are created. And then to go to the museum and see the creations themselves. You know, I go back with Fuller 20 years now. You know, we started overhauling in October of 2003, you can believe it. So we're coming up on 20 year anniversary of overhauling. And, you know, he's a very close friend, and I'm just so stoked for his success. And this is exactly what he should be doing. He's concentrating on building cars, but he's also, you know, got his mug on TV once in a while. He was just recently announced as Courtney Hansen's new, I guess, shop manager or project manager. You know, he's essentially her co-star. You know, Brian's a savvy TV guy. So that's going to be really fun to see the new season of Bride of Your Life with Fuller on there too.
Yeah. Don't you just hope you have that much energy when you're 58 or 59 years old, whatever Fuller is?
How old is he?
He's close to 60.
Get out of here. You're fucking crazy.
Hey, well, shit, I'm close to 60. I'm 53, so I'm right on Fuller's tail. So I'm hoping I expect to have that much energy. I don't think Fuller's that much older than I am. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm really just throwing. I'm just throwing a shot at him, actually.
You're throwing some darts, launching some grenades.
It's rare you can make fun of somebody for being old.
Yeah, he's definitely older than me, but he's got way more energy than me. That's for sure. That dude's got some energy.
Yeah, he's on the chip, man. He's on the fucking rev limiter all the time. I'll give it to him.
He does. He's got the love. You know, it's funny. Obviously, you guys follow him on social media too, so you see what he's doing. He's always going somewhere and doing something. And I mean, he's the real deal. He lives the life.
Yeah, we wanted to make it out there. Unfortunately, it was Grandma's 90th birthday, so that's one you can't miss.
Milestone. Does she have Fuller energy at 90?
She's not doing too bad for 90 yet. Doing pretty solid.
Good deal. Good deal. My stepmom just turned 93 a couple days ago. So she's like, I guess 93 is the new 70. She's living it up.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
How's did y'all get hit bad by the hurricane or whatever out there?
No, man, it was the typical, you know, the sky is falling. You know, Chicken Little was running around. Yeah. LA was going to float away. It was nothing. It was one night of rain. It was, you know, there was a lot of rain, but it was just a night of rain. It wasn't, you know, and the earthquake certainly didn't help in the middle of all of it. You know, they're calling it like the hurricane or whatever. I don't know.
That's almost like a shark. That's like a Sharknado.
Exactly. I was in Monterey where it was beautiful. It was like 78 degrees and sunny. It was amazing how good the weather was up on the peninsula. So I didn't catch any of it. And then we drove down on Monday, and it was smooth sailing all the way. We made it back to Burbank from Monterey in 4.5 hours. It was unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, they're acting crazy here now. They're sending out all the alerts for the schools and stuff. Yeah. We're supposed to have a like record heat wave starting tomorrow, up to like 105, 106 degrees.
Damn.
And I mean, they're acting like everybody just go south for a few days and come back. Like, cancel.
Fill your bathtub up with ice.
We're going to leave the air conditioning on.
It's nuts, man. The amount of, I mean, from all over the news, you know, go fill up your gas station, your gas cans, be prepared.
It is crazy.
Like Y2K.
It's funny coming from, we just came from Austin, Texas, and they don't give you any sort of warning
Holy
for that.
Shit. Yeah,
that needed a warning.
Oh, yeah,
that,
no, it's blazing
that,
there.
Yeah, that could kill you. This is just like a little heat wave. Yeah,
I was not prepared.
Well, I was in Phoenix for 5 days, right in the middle of that record run they had of 112 plus days. And that's like, you know, sticking your head in an oven, step outside. It's crazy. And I did a 2-day Radford Racing School during that heat wave run. And, you know, testament to the amazing technology of these Hellcats that they run there. AC blowing cold the whole time. Engine never really got too hot. So, you know, shout out to Dodge for building bulletproof cars up there. We were beating on these things and never overheated.
Man, that's especially with you know, supercharged motors. They got some pretty good intercooler blocks.
Exactly.
I'd assume.
That's quite
probably melt into the ground.
Quite a challenge for those things. Oh, man. So what's up next? So you got SEMA's the next big show?
Well, I mean, I got some stops before then. You know, the summer's really busy for me because I do the car show circuit. I usually do about probably 8 to 10 appearances. So I've got another one of those. First is another Mecum. I got that in Dallas in a couple weeks. And then I'm coming to Chicago for the Bears home opener. Mm. Yeah. I think that's actually first and then Mecum.
You going to come up and see the shop?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope I'm going to have some time to do that. I'm in and out on that weekend, but I'm certainly going to reach out to you guys and hopefully come have a pop with you guys up there.
Yeah,
and then I'm going down to Louisiana for cruising the coast first week of October. And then I'm going to be at McCacken. That's in November, which I think is actually SEMA. So yeah. So then SEMA. So it's, I just, you know, I got an old pencil and paper calendar in front of me here, and I just, you know, turn the page and see what I got going this week.
Nonstop.
You gotta stay.
Yeah,
after,
but it's good. Nonstop in a good way. Yeah, exactly.
How is that cruising the coast show? We talk about going every once in a while, and everybody, you get mixed reviews.
I heard it's great. This is my first time at cruising the coast. I've done the Pigeon Forge, the Rod Run, and that's a great show. It's the same guys who put them on. So I've heard cruising the coast is even bigger and better than Rod Run. So I'm looking forward to it. Christy Lee's going to be down there with me. Christy was with me at the 2-day driving school at Radford. So that was great to see her again. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's also going to be my first time at McCacken. I'm a little bit ashamed to say as a Chicagoan, I've never been to McCacken before, but I'm stoked about that show too. I was just up in Canada in Thunder Bay, and this guy had a barn find Pontiac up there, and he's bringing it to McCacken. It was unbelievable. Like, the body of the car is pretty weather beaten, but the interior is somehow perfectly preserved. It's really kind of weird. Like, they, you know, it just got shut up. Like, the floorboards are all rusted out and everything, but the seats, the seat frames and the seat covers and everything, it's all perfect. It's like pristine. It's really weird.
Hey, kind of like deteriorated backwards. Usually the interior's right. Gone.
Exactly.
And then it takes the floor out.
Yeah.
But I honestly hate to say it. I'm not even familiar with that show, the McCacken show. What?
Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at the, Rosemont. Is it at McCormick?
Okay.
Oh, Rosemont. That's right. Yeah.
MCCA or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. McCacken, MCACN, Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals. Yeah.
Man, I'm embarrassed to say it.
Yeah. It's where the gasser went about 3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. It's all mostly put stock Danny. Original Yencos.
Yeah. Yeah. They had last year, my buddy Dave Wise was contacted by some people who had a 71 Hemi Cuda 4-speed convertible black that this guy was a Chrysler mechanic. He bought the car. He drove it around. It was just a little too torquey for him. So he parked it and got a New Yorker and drove that around. But he parked this thing in his garage and it just literally sat there for, like, you know, close to 50 years. And then he finally decided it was time to sell. So that car was on display at McCacken last year. It was kind of one of the highlights. It was like a true, you know, original everything, Hemi Cuda convertible 4-speed. So it's kind of that level of cars that go to McCacken.
Got it.
Like you were saying, a lot of like the super historic, stock, cars.
So you've done a lot of these. You're going to those shows all over the place, indoor, outdoor.
Yeah.
You're doing, you know, shaking babies, kissing hands, and
no, you don't shake the babies.
You shake
the
gently.
Hands. You
gently.
You shake the hands.
Oh, kiss, yeah. You wake them up and the show them a car.
Just a little bit.
No,
are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. That's on the news. You don't.
We'll look it up after the show.
Google it.
And so, I mean, doing autographs, doing the whole thing. There's got to be one or multiple moments that stand out. That's like, holy shit! I can't believe that just happened. There's got to be. Because we all know this is a big world out there. It's a big car enthusiast world. And we are happy to be in this business. However, there is some unique individuals.
Are you getting at, like, you're saying something that's like just a really cool experience? Like, he's excited?
No, I don't really care about the cool experience.
Or more like, look at this. This is my Chris Jacobs mural tattoo.
Yeah, I'm looking for more of
like
that.
That's where you're headed with it?
At Rod Run, Pigeon Forge Rod Run last year, I signed a guy's head. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
The thing that really kind of is... I don't know, gross or whatever. It's like, you know, if you've got sweaty palms, you know you got sweaty palms, right? Just give me the knuckles. Just give me the knuckles.
Yeah. Post COVID, you can get away with the knuckles. So
Don't reach out and give me the full sponge handshake. You know, I mean, I'm good knuckling it, you know, just as meaningful.
I'm just looking.
But yeah.
Nothing worse than a clammy dead
Purell
fish.
Purell is my friend at these appearances.
Well, you've got to think. He just talked about overhauling debut 2003, right?
Yep.
It's 2000. Yeah. It's 20 years ago, right? So you had a significant amount of moms at home with their 8, 9, 10-year-old sons wanting to watch Overhaul and stuff like that. That love is burned for 20 years, right?
Oh, that's where you
go. Yeah, and they get there and they see old Chris in the flesh.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Chris is good looking dude. You know?
Yeah, he ain't aged a bit. Right, no. He ain't aged a bit, right? And this is their chance. Now, their son's 29 years old, right? Now they're with mom. There's got to be some of those embarrassing moments. It's like, all right, now move along. We got a long line of autographs to sign.
There's some, you know, I like to, you know, when I take pictures of people, I throw my arm around them, you know, and there are some, you know, some tight squeezes that go on a little bit longer than
grab that arm and rub it down.
Yeah, right. You know, it's not nothing inappropriate, but certainly maybe, you know, a little uncomfortable after a while. Well, also the thing that I've been getting lately too is because you mentioned, you know, 20 years coming up for overhauling are the guys who now are like, you know, in their early 30s who tell me that they grew up watching me. You know, I used to watch you as a little kid. I'm like, damn.
That feels good, don't it? That feels real good.
It does for a second till I do the math in my head and then I go, oh, well, yeah. But it's really cool. You know, I always have time for the fans, man. I never say no as far as wanting a picture or an autograph or even to stop and just chat for a little bit because I know that, you know, those people are the reason that I have a career. You know, if no one watched Overhauling when we were starting out, I wouldn't be on your podcast right now. You know, I mean, Overhauling is my calling card and it launched me into all these other projects and partnerships that I have today that, you know, afford me a living and a lifestyle. And so I'm forever grateful to fans of the show and fans of anything I do. And it's funny, I get a lot of car guys who tell me that they love Long Lost Family too, which is the family show that I did on TLC where we reunited people who were adopted with their natural families. It's amazing to me how many, you know, dirt under the fingernail car guys are really moved by that show because, you know, maybe they watched it with their wives or maybe they've got the contact themselves with adoption and so they watch it. But that's really nice to hear too, that, you know, people are really kind of paying attention to everything that I'm doing and not just the car stuff.
Cool. You have you have a lot of fun doing the Mecum stuff.
Man, it's a blast. You know, it's like really a dream job. I mean, if someone told you, hey, we're going to give you a microphone and you just walk out into this field of perfect cars and just pick one out and let us know what you want to talk about it. And we'll send a camera out there and do it. And that's my job. You know, and every once in a while I wander up onto the block and I hang out with Scott Hoke and John Kramen and Stephen Cox and Bill Stevens and talk about the cars that are coming across the block. And then when I feel like it, I go back out into the tents and talk about whatever car I pick out. So absolute dream job. It's so cool. Really privileged to do that. And I meet a lot of cool people out there in the tents who are walking around and want to say, hey, and my kind of method is I try to not just describe the car that's in front of me, the particular car, but give a little tidbit about, you know, the car, you know, like if it's a GTO, you know, you talk about John DeLorean or something like that. So, you know, I rely on Google a lot when I'm out there doing previews in the tents. I do not have all of this information in my head at all times, you know, like Steve Magnante does. You know, I try to put a little bit of knowledge behind my previews.
Well, it shows that you're having a good time. It's kind of why I asked. I've seen it before and you can just tell you're relaxed. It's not forced. It's like, holy shit, I'm having a great time. And it comes across. Yeah. You do a really good job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So we got, I know we asked a bunch of standard questions on the last podcast. I'm going to change it up a little bit.
You got some updated ones?
I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm just going to off the cuff, right?
Oh.
Just.
You didn't run these by us ahead of time?
No.
They're not on the notes list.
No, they're not on the notes. They're just going to go with it. What's the most pissed off you've ever seen Chip Foose?
Oh, you're gonna laugh. We were at SEMA one time, and it was the night before the show, so it must have been Monday night. And we're walking around, and you know everything's set. Like all the Teamsters have left, and you know there's still some stragglers setting up too. But for the most part, things are set up. And Chip had a, we were looking at all the different cars that Chip had in the various booths. And the cleanup crew was in there like vacuuming the carpets, like doing one last vacuum. But it's not the car people setup crew. It's like literally the convention center staff coming in. And this woman was vacuuming and she was hitting the wheels with her vacuum. And Chip went, and I don't think it was Chip's car. I think it might have been a different car in the display that his car was in. But he went and pulled the cord out of the wall. And, you know, that he didn't say anything to the person that was hitting the wheels with the vacuum. But he just kind of pulled the cord out of the wall and he, like, you know, gave him a look. And I was like, whoa, that's the most pissed off I've ever seen Chip.
He probably didn't get to see him at the Detroit Autorama when a former Roadster shop employee was helping detail his car. Are
you going to tell that story?
We might as well, because that could be the most pissed off that Chip Foose has ever
been. I was not there, but I heard the story.
It took a while for me to like get the courage to introduce myself to Chip Foose.
Outside chance that he's not on the podcast yet.
No, not outside. That's probably the exact chance.
We go to the Autorama 1 year, and this is, you know, kind of in its heyday. Yeah, it's like in its heyday, right? Yeah. And we had an employee that worked at the Roadster shop who was, you know, kind of doing some detail type
former
stuff.
Former employee.
Former. So he offers up his services after hours to help Chip. Chip had like a team of guys wiping down the underside of this car. Well, I guess he went to implement one of his techniques for cleaning tires, which involves taking lacquer thinner on a rag and wiping down tires. Well, it works good if you don't, like, airbrush the tires specifically for the show, because lacquer thinner takes paint off, right? I think Chip had a little bit of a shit fit over that one. And then shortly after that,
Chip was not happy.
No, he was not happy, but Clay Cook.
And this is probably one of his cars that won the Riddler.
Yeah, I think it still won. Show. Yeah, it ended up winning. It wasn't sabotaged.
Yeah. If he was there, he won, yeah.
But that was
Imposter, wasn't it?
It was Imposter.
Yeah. It was Imposter? Okay, wow. Yeah.
That was the same year that the Carbon Woody was there, that Clay Cook had just got done telling me about all the machine work in the front grill.
Yeah.
My shoulder's still not right.
Same guy. He's
right?
Yeah, he's walking around and decides he's going to step into the booth, you know, because we're in there talking to Clay and the guys. Trips over the booth, and it's like nothing went out. He just went straight for the grill. He was headed for the grill. You know, this is like 200-something-pound guy. And Phil looked like...
Cat-like dad reflexes.
Oh, yeah. Phil comes flying like Matrix. Shoulder blocks and like out of the way of the grill. So that saved us probably $100,000.
Nicely done. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if that same guy somehow messed up that carbon grill, man, he would not have made it out of Detroit alive.
Hey, he single-handedly almost destroyed $5 million worth of cars at the show.
Damn.
This is the behind my default
setting for a show car is do not touch it. And do not offer to do anything to it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they got even if they ask, it's be like, no, I'm good. Yeah. I'll look. Right.
You need a glass of water, get you a bottle of water, something.
Right. I don't need to participate in any meaningful way.
Also, the reason we've never won the Shine Award, right?
Yeah, I think we
same guy.
We talked about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did we even get here?
Oh, you were asking me what's the most pissed off I've ever seen Chip Foose. Yeah.
All right. What's the most pissed off you've ever seen Courtney?
Courtney's not really a pissed off person. I mean, she's so happy all the time.
All y'all can't be fucking happy, good looking, and talented.
It's Hollywood. Dude.
It's Hollywood. That's bullshit.
That's the way it goes.
They forgot to put the MAD program in our robot brains. I don't think I've ever seen Courtney mad. I really don't. She's just Bubble City. Yeah, I gotta disappoint you on that one.
Oh well. What's the maddest you ever seen, Bud? You know,
Bud gets pissed off.
He's the opposite. He's the opposite. Bud is armed at all times, by the way. He always has a knife. So, you know.
Bud's probably got one of those, like, Jack Hawk truck stop knives, like the big, long, fixed blade, tribal looking.
There's, like, six of them.
It was given to him either by special forces or
some SEAL friend
or
of his.
Something. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But it's funny about Bud. Every time he greets me, and probably you guys too, if he knows you, his standard greeting is, you know, a shake into a pull into an arm bar.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of show his dominance when he first says hello. It's funny that during the first season of overhauling, you know, we used to wrestle. Like Bud always wanted to, like, you know, wrestle because he was very into the mixed martial arts. So I remember we were at Robbie Gordon's shop one time, and I was dressed up for a prank as a police officer. So I had an Oxford on and some nice pants, and Bud and I start wrestling, and I split my pants in the back. And it was like literally like 10 minutes before we had to leave for the prank. So we're like, you know, safety pinning my pants together. That was pretty funny. But no, Bud doesn't, he loves like controversy and problems and stuff. So he really doesn't get pissed off. He like prides himself on being able to resolve situations. We were at WyoTech in Wyoming one time, and there's a bar right by the school. We were doing an episode of the school. We were building the Speedbird, which was this beautiful modified 57 Bel Air. That we did from a hard top car into a convertible. But we went to this bar called the Buckhorn, and a fight broke out, and Bud just cannot stay out of the middle of the mix. I watched him. As soon as I saw the fight break up, there was two doors in the bar. He went out the one door because it was a crowded bar, and we were on one side and the fight was on the other side. Bud goes outside one door, cuts down the sidewalk, and comes in the other door so he can be right in the middle of the fight. It was hilarious.
And if a bar fight breaks out in Laramie, Wyoming, in a bar, I don't know that I want to be a part of it.
And if you're Bud, you're getting into it. He's got the skills right to pull it off.
Right in there.
Man, I didn't know that Bud was a trained martial artist.
Better stop talking all that shit.
What's Bud been up to? I haven't heard much from him.
Bud's always got stuff going on. Yeah, he's got Battle of the Builders at SEMA. Yeah. He is very big in the production of a lot of Baja 1000, you know, score events. Yeah.
That's got to be tough for an all black suit, too.
It's hot out there.
He's always ready. He's a ninja. It must be tough to pick out which black shirt and pants he's going to wear, you know, each morning.
I think you just got to.
Is it going to be the short sleeve or the long sleeve?
They're laid out just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Exactly. He's like Richie Rich. You open his closet, he's just got a row of, you know, the same thing he's going to wear. But yeah, no, Bud is he's a character, and he's a gamer and a hustler. He's always got something going on. So fortunately, he throws me a job every once in a while. I hosted Launchpad last year at SEMA, but unfortunately, they're not doing it again this year.
I'll tell you what, this is not a shot to Bud, but so his wife Adrian, whatever they did on the now I can't even think of the name of it. That shows how much I've seen it. But the car, what's the car insurance infomercial in the mornings and stuff.
Car Shield.
Man, that thing runs. And maybe it's just when I get up in the mornings on Saturdays, going to the gym or whatever. It's Adrian on there for Car Shield every single set. And it's been on that like for years. So man, kudos to them.
I haven't caught it.
Great one. It just keeps running. I'm running.
I'm hoping she's getting paid every time it runs.
Oh, well, that's what I'm hoping too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's your key takeaway after doing all of this in showbiz, car related showbiz for the most part as well? For what's your takeaway, things that you would wish you would have known at an earlier age, or advice to other kids getting out there? You've got a lot of influencers out there, right? And social media, and everybody wants to be famous. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a swing back to traditional mainstream media at some point, because basically there's nothing to watch on TV anymore.
Just because you're still reading the newspaper doesn't mean it's going that way, Josh.
And I'm not saying newspaper, but I mean, you're going to have shows again. You're going to have
programs.
You're going to have produced, you know, well done television shows. And I think that some people that have made a decent or okay living in social media influencing are going to have to start looking to some of that. So what's some advice that you would give them, or something that you wish you would have known?
Yeah. Well, I think the advice that I would give somebody, is to know your worth and to stay strong in you know, don't devalue yourself just in order to get a job. You know, a lot of times I would just, you know, I wanted to be part of the production so badly, I would sign agreements that I thought were unfair. I thought that I was being underpaid. And so when I applied that knowledge to later projects and later deals, I recognized that, you know, if you just stay strong to your value and really believe in what you're worth, that they will see it in the end too, because everyone's trying to get the best deal for themselves. But don't be afraid to say no to what you think is a bad offer or something that's going to devalue your brand. Because, you know, if you are truly worth it, then people are going to see that and they're going to compensate you accordingly for that.
I got a question. So if it's interesting, and I think that makes a lot of sense. We talk about it in the car building side of things too, but do you ever wonder if you would have stood strong on those early roles and said, screw it, you're not paying me enough, I'm not going to be a part of this, would those same doors have opened down the road if you hadn't taken,
you know, no, definitely not. And, you know, I don't regret what I think was devaluing myself in the very beginning, because when I first started overhauling, I mean, you would laugh as to what they were paying us per episode, but I was pretty green back then. I mean, you know, I'd been an actor for, when I started in 95. So, you know, 8 years I had been kind of scratching out a living doing commercials and TV show guest appearances. And, you know, once in a while I'd do a movie. So when overhauling came along, it was my first offer of a regular job. And I think they only ordered 7 episodes in the first season. And the pay again was just like, it was like next to nothing. But I think I recognized that this show could, you know, open doors and be like a launching pad to other stuff. So I said yes, and obviously it turned out to be a great decision because of all the other opportunities that I got from being on Overhauling. And then obviously Overhauling turned into a monster. So in that regard, I made the right decision. But you really have to think kind of, how is this going to affect me, you know, 2, 3, 5 years down the road, especially if you're signing a multi-year contract? The answer to your question is, it would not have been the same. I would, if I had said no to overhauling, obviously, you know, I wouldn't be here right now. I'm glad that I made the right decision, man. But once you get some credits on your resume and you build up some leverage, that's when it's okay to say no to what you think is a lowball offer. And then, you know, perhaps they'll come back and give you more. And if it doesn't work out, then you gotta believe that you made the right decision and, you know, more opportunities will come along.
Well, I know you got a hard out at 6:30. So we got one or two more questions and we'll be wrapping this up.
You seem excited. Sure. You got some good ones, don't you?
You're still repping the red eye. You're still driving the red eye.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. No, that's my daily driver.
So you go out to the red eye this evening when you're headed to your other engagement. Spotify connects, right? What's the song that it's playing?
Oh, something by the Stones probably. Can't You Hear Me Knocking?
Oh, that is a good one.
You know, Sister Morphine, Stray Cat Blues. I mean, I'm super, super into 70s Stones. So that's probably what I've got it on. I've been very into Tom Petty lately. I play guitar, and at night to relax, I go out on the front porch with a glass of wine and my guitar, and I play along to my iPhone. And so I've been playing a lot of Tom Petty lately. So that's been on there. I'm a huge Grateful Dead fan, so maybe it's Grateful Dead. I'm a classic rock guy to the bone.
Nice. Good taste in music.
Think about all the ladies out there picturing Chris Jacobs sitting out there in his boxers, playing his guitar, drinking his wine on the
front
porch.
You're the only one thinking about him sitting in his boxers, telling you what, dude.
Hey, you can recognize.
Wearing, like, cargos or something. You don't know that.
Well, no, it's only Vanessa gets the private show. She comes out, she puts a blanket on the lawn, and, you know, it's so nice during the summer here in Toluca Lake. And so, it's kind of a little treat. After we put Scarlett to bed, we usually put her to bed about 8 o'clock, 8:30, and then we'll go out on the porch and just enjoy the evening.
You going to stay in California till everybody's gone?
I'll turn the lights out after everybody leaves.
Like, yeah, Tom, you know, Bodette, I mean, man.
Yeah. We live in a little bubble. I mean, where we live in Burbank, we live in the Toluca Lake section of Burbank, and it really is just like one of the last true neighborhoods in LA. We're not in the shit, which there is a lot of in LA. It's kind of scary and very disheartening because of all the taxes that we pay to see like what's becoming of Southern California. But you know, the perks of living in California are just amazing. You know, we call it the weather tax. We pay what we pay in taxes because, you know, we get 310 days of perfect weather. And you got Vegas and you got the beach and you got the mountains and you got Mexico and you got Hawaii right there. So yeah, I think so. But you know, you'll never take the Chicago out of me. You know, I'm a Chicago born and raised, and I never miss a Bears home opener. I listen to most Cub games on my SiriusXM app. And so, yeah, I bleed Chicago blue.
Italian beef or Chicago style hot dog?
I got to go Vienna. Yeah, I'm a Vienna guy. I love a classic, good, you know, steamed bun. And
extra ketchup, right? Extra ketchup.
No,
get your ass whooped. Come on, you're saying crazy? Something like that, dude.
I've learned. That's why I brought it up. What's the social media channels where they can find you?
Instagram is my main one. It's at ChrisJacobs70. That links to my Facebook, and that's. I'm not too active on formerly known as Twitter, or they call it X now. So Instagram at ChrisJacobs70 is where you can find me easiest.
And then at Finale Speed, right, on Instagram?
At Finale Speed on Instagram as well. Please check that out. Give us a follow there. I try to share as much Finale Speed content on my channel as well, so people can see it and hopefully give Finale a follow. But yeah, if you're going to be at SEMA, definitely come by either the Dynamat booth or the Wheel Pros booth and check out our cars. And we're super proud of them and looking forward to keep the Ford momentum going.
Well, dude, nothing but the best of luck to you. Hope we can hook up here in a few weeks when you come out for the opener. And before you go, you cared about giving us a liner. You know, this is Chris Jacobs. You're listening to Oil and Whiskey, something like that.
Oh, you got it.
Awesome.
What's up, everybody? Chris Jacobs here, and you are listening to Oil and Whiskey.
Appreciate it, man.
Nailed it.
Hope to see you soon.
Of course.
Take care, dude. Yeah, it's great hanging.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, later, buddy.
Appreciate
see
you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Late.
It's time for a whiskey review. What time is it?
It's time for whiskey review.
Or is it whiskey review time?
Whiskey review time.
Whoa. Yeah. Dude.
Fucking
nice, it's been nice a while. Vibrato, buddy.
It's been a while.
Damn. Dude. Hey, put it right there. That was something.
I'm not going to high five yet.
You don't like jingles.
I don't.
But you're not cool.
Yeah. You bang out a jingle like that, you get first crack at that whiskey review.
George Remus. It's been sitting up there for a while.
Been hiding out in the corner. That's why.
Not hiding out. It's been right there in front of my eyes, and I'm like, I don't want to try it.
I don't see it from my
angle. It doesn't do anything
for
me.
I don't see it from my angle.
Oh, I've been seeing it, and nothing about it. When I seen it there, or I see it at the shelves, or I have nothing about it.
Is it the look of George Remus?
George Remus got a little shitty look on his face. He's got a little bit like, "Don't drink me, I'm not any good."
that's what he's saying, huh?
No, it's just everything about it looks like a fake bourbon.
That's what I was gonna say. Looks
the label's not real inviting.
This would be like a bourbon you would get in the gift shop at Dollywood, right?
No, you wouldn't, because it's a dry county, dude. You would
something like Dollywood,
the Dells, maybe Wisconsin Dells. Okay,
so, but
it's the king of bourbons.
I will say that this turned out to be really good. Do you know why it was probably good?
Why is that?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because in 2022, Garfield's Beverage Warehouse and Liquor Emporium selected this as a single barrel.
So you think it's just that barrel that's that good? Because
I'm going to give the credit.
Dave Garfield himself.
I'm going to give the credit to old Dave.
Okay. You might have something there.
No bullshit. We went. This was the third bourbon tonight. We tried two before.
We struggled.
Yep.
We've had a bad run lately.
We spat them out, and we didn't drink them. We had to go to this, and we were we were starting to run out of shit to do, and
that's our last unopened bottle.
I actually really enjoyed it. Didn't know what to expect the first.
I enjoyed it as well until I decided to inhale it and choke to death mid-podcast.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring that up later. You look like an idiot.
Yeah, I'm aware of
that. It was super funny because now I'm going to ask for that on a loop.
No, we're going to cut that out.
No, they're not going to cut
it out. We're going to edit that.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They can edit it out of the podcast, but I'll personally have it.
You will not have it.
I will. It'll be on my phone every time you call me. You'll go,
What's it going to do?
No.
When I call you. So, hey, this is me calling. Hold on. Here. What's it going to do?
You guys can have it on each other's phone.
Okay.
George Remus straight bourbon whiskey. Distilled in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. I would assume this is an MGP product. Ross and Squibb Distillery. Don't know a lot about it. You see it all the time, for the most part, on the shelves.
$50, $60 price point.
Yeah. It's 114 proof. Does not drink like 114 proof to me. I don't think it's that spicy.
I got a good chest burn out of it.
Maybe I'm dead because of the 2,000 proof that we tasted all the prior taste buds to that off. Shit. I guarantee we could go down there and start any car down there off of it.
On which one?
That Penelope, Chicago, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't even bring that like within a foot of your nose. Mm-mm. Without.
Yeah, it's bad. But.
Rate it, dude. You've talked about it enough. Rate it. I'm sick of hearing you talk, to be honest with you.
I'd like to hear you cough again.
Would you?
That'd be cool. Guess what? I can just watch this podcast and I'll be able to see it over and over and over.
It's going
to
be edited out.
It's not. It won't be edited out. He'll stay.
I doubt Elliot's going to make a clip out of that either.
Yeah.
He's not. He's got probably an annual review coming.
Dude, I thought we were going to have to like revive you or something like that. You died for 3 seconds.
Yeah. You think did I stop breathing?
You did.
I needed resuscitation. That's how badass I am.
Quite off point.
I just forced myself back into breathing.
Stupid.
Between that and his fucking sneezing nonstop over here.
Who's fucking sneezing?
That'd be you.
Me? When did I sneeze?
There's several sneezes.
Oh, now we're just making things up.
We're going to go back to the tape.
You've sneezed a few times. You might not. What is
happening? You like a child?
That's what happened. Didn't your mom ever tell you that when you were a kid that God punished you?
This one.
Yeah. What happens.
This one leaked.
My mom used to say that.
That pen leaked.
Because I was an asshole.
I think you've sabotaged
me. I was an asshole, and then when something bad had happened, that's what she'd say.
Well,
that's what happened to you.
George Remus. I'm going to give it a... let's try it one more time.
Pinky out.
I thought it was actually pretty good. I'm going to give it an even 7. Seven.
Okay, get your ink hands off of my fancy faceted glass, would you?
Yeah, I will. I'm finished now.
Okay, good. 7's a good review. That's where I'm at, too. 7-0.
I think both of you are a little bit reaching after the last few horrible ones. So I'm going to go 6.5.
Phil, you don't like it. You don't like any type of spice. And that's nothing bad. It's not a shot at you. But you like way smoother, lower proof bourbon.
I like some of the high proof. This one's just burning my chest real bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Phil's more like a hazy IPA kind of guy. Like a super hazy, spicy mango IPA.
He's going to be like, I get a slapped across the face kind of guy in a second.
Yes. That'd be cool.
That would be actually kind of
cool.
Not
as cool as you coughing. Because that was fucking cool for us.
That was probably the fastest recovery from a near-death experience I've ever seen in my life.
I got nothing.
Yeah, of course you don't, because you agree. That was choked.
How near to death do you think you were?
Choking, not choking. That fast. That's how quickly I recovered.
Do you think you were closer to death right then or when you had COVID?
Oh, definitely COVID. I literally almost died.
I know you did. Yeah. You were close, too. I was like, fuck, this dude's going to die. And I never even got it. Thanks for listening.
I'm glad we can joke about it.
Now we can. You were fine. We just weren't going out to lunch anymore.
Yeah. That cool scuba diving tank.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to go out to lunch. That's the kind of friend... You guys are.
It was so extra.
Yeah.
It was so much.
When I'm with,
can you pull the truck around the front? I got to get my stuff in. Open the back.
Yeah. When I'm on my deathbed, surviving on supplemental oxygen, and I'm told, what was it, that it's off-putting?
I was like, this is a lot to take you out to lunch. Why don't tomorrow I'll just go get us something we could eat here? Because it was so, like, you got to admit, tables are turned.
I admit,
you being in a wheelchair, there's no more extra that we could have had. I would have been fine with you being in a wheelchair because I got a van easier than getting, like.
Just sent them.
Yeah, the fuck. Yeah, and they not make a shorter hose for that?
They do it.
You had 600 feet of hose.
That's what they fucking gave me, okay? That's just what they gave me.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that's over.
I hope I still have that hose so I could wrap it around your fucking neck.
Thanks for listening to Oil and Whiskey, an Ironclad Original.
There's going to be a lot of editing on that one.
Maybe not. I think we should leave everything in there. We'll see you again next week, fellas. At least me and Phil. Jeremy has another coughing fit like that. We won't be seeing him.